discipline challenges. I do not know of a youth ministry that does not wrestle with the problems of discipline. Having a child in your program that is just not cooperating, whether they're doing it overtly or covertly, they have their own agenda, and they're going to use your meeting to carry it out. It is a challenge. You cannot do youth ministry and not have this particular challenge. How do you deal with it? How do you deal with it? Every youth ministry has discipline problems. And we did that. We had that as well in our ministry. We had to struggle with that. Here we are trying to raise up youth leaders. And one of the most difficult things is when they had to deal with an unruly child. And next thing you know, your attention is drawn away from leading or doing that which you're supposed to do to having to deal with this troublesome child. What do you do? How do you solve that problem? Well, we solve it by what we call, actually what Jim Fay and Foster Klein call, parenting with love and logic. It's a book that they both wrote on, it really has to do with discipline through natural consequences. But what was striking to me was the co-author, Foster Klein. He is a psychologist, and he's someone who has developed the Attachment Center back in Colorado. And I'm familiar with him because I had the privilege of raising an adopted child. And so I know something about the difficulties of attachment disorder. It's very difficult. Attachment disorder, I guess in its purest form, when a child has a disruption in their life, whether through violence or through turmoil in the mother's womb or through difficulty at childbirth or before childbirth, it can create problems with attachment. I can remember that in the books that I read as I wrestled with how to deal with this, there was one book that had an illustration in front of it. It said the dog looks at the master and says, you love me, you feed me, you take care of me, you must be God. Then the cat comes along and says, you love me, you feed me, you take care of me, I must be God. And then the last statement is, here's to all you parents who have cats with fangs. That's probably the extreme, but that's what happens. When there is a disruption when you're young, it can really mess with your life. And what I discovered is that there is a measure of attachment disorder in families growing up, with children growing up in my community, in poor communities. If you come out of a broken home or single-parent family, or if there's some kind of stress or problems going on, there is attachment issues, and there's issues relating to being able to love and to receive love from others. And so, this disorder takes place, perhaps not in its full measure, but it does take place to some extent amongst the young people that you probably serve. And so, what do you do? What do you do? What are the keys to love and logic? Well, first, you need to know that love and logic approach to dealing with discipline issues really fits well with a transformational discipleship philosophy of ministry. And here are the principles. No three-strike rule. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but many times when a kid gets in trouble and they're brought to the leader or to the principal, they say, okay, three strikes and you're out. Well, no three-strike rule. You never give a child permission to repeat bad behavior because they'll take it to the limit. That's what they will do. So no three-strike rule. The child is responsible for his or her behavior. Many times when a child acts up, we take on responsibility for their behavior, or the parent takes on responsibility for their behavior. No, it's the child who is responsible for their behavior. The leader is responsible for his or her response to the problem. So, anger, frustration, yelling, arguing, they're not appropriate leadership responses. In fact, it shifts the weight of the problem off the shoulders of the child and onto the leader. I had someone once ask me, if you look at 10 points of concern and your child has failed a class, and they come home and they tell you they failed the class, if there are 10 points of concern, how many points lie with the child and how many points lie with the parent? Most parents would respond in such a way where the points would most of the points would be on their shoulders and very few would be on the child. So the key to parenting with love and logic is that you never take responsibility off the shoulders of the child. So the child owns the decision to misbehave, and therefore he or she owns the consequences of that behavior. So here's what we do. You give children choices you can live with. You never give a child a choice you are not willing to carry out. This is important. You're helping the child make choices. You're helping them make choices, but they're choices that you can accept. So you say, okay, you can do either this or this. But it doesn't matter to you which one they do, and either one they choose, you will accept it. Consequences should be natural and not punitive. The leader should never punish or act out of anger. Your task is to implement a sensible and natural consequence. This really is how we raise our children. When they're in our home and they have a problem, they have a natural consequence. So they know that actions have consequences. And when they learn them within the safety of your home, they're more apt to be equipped to handle situations when they leave your home. But the key is that it's natural and not punitive. I mean, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. You cannot force a child to behave. That must be their choice. But your handling of the situation can influence how the unruly child behaves. In my neighborhood, this is hard. I mean, when I was growing up, and my mom, who is just about to turn 90, when I was a kid, I mean, I was at least a foot taller than my mom, but that did not matter. She would say things to me like, "I brought you into the world, and I will take you out of it." She would stand to me, she'd be looking up like this, and she'd look up and say, "I'm going to grab a brick, I will deal with you, I'm going to knock you out." That's kind of the way I grew up, and I see a lot of handling of discipline problems in that way. It's about the adult exercising forceful authority over the child. And the problem is that when you do that, you take the decision away from the child. And so it has to be about the child has done something wrong, and now they have to live with the consequences. If you get angry, that takes away from the full weight of what they've done and what the consequence should be, and what their consequences are. And it also keeps them from being responsible. And so it's very important that you give them choices. It's important that that the consequences are natural. Never act in a punitive way. Don't do that. Okay? And recognize that it is their choice. But you've given them choices you can live with. And so here's how does it work? When we have, during our summer day camp, and each our youth leaders, our youth leadership teams, are working with a group of young people, of children. And we tell them, say, look, when you're with your group, one of the first things you have to do is find out who the troublemakers are. You need to realize sometimes the troublemakers will just be really loud and boisterous, and you know they're going to give you problems. But then there are the silent ones, the ones that are quiet. And they're kind of, you know, they're behind the scenes, they're sabotaging your class. Well, for the learning centers, we always have an adult sitting in the back of the room. We're very careful about that adult. That adult cannot be what we call a helicopter mom or dad. You can't have somebody who's going to swoop in at the first sign of trouble. Okay, that person will take leadership and authority away from your high school leader. So you want them just sitting in the corner, and they're reading a book or they're on their computer, but they are not. They're just blending into the wall. But the emerging leader is leading, and as they lead the class, they spot the troublemaker, and at the first sign of trouble, they get the attention of the adult. And they point to the child, and then the adult comes up, takes the child out, and takes them out of the room while the emerging leader continues to teach. And that's when love and logic kicks in. And so the conversation goes like this. It says, well, I see, little Johnny, that you're having trouble abiding by the rules of the class. I said, now you know that if you're going to be in the class, you need to be attentive and pay attention and not cause trouble. It says, so we're going to give you a choice. You can go back inside and then you can decide to be a part of the class. Or if you don't want to, we can certainly just call your mom and our dad and then we'll have them pick you up and take you home. It's your choice. What do you want to do? Now, usually they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to behave myself. Okay. So you say, okay, great. You put them back in the class, and you almost pray that they mess up. You kind of know they're going to do it. And so what happens? Sure enough, they do it. They go back, and they are disruptive. When that happens, again, you take them out of the class, and this time you say, well, it looks like you've made your choice. Apparently, you don't want to abide by the fit in with the class or enjoy the class. Says, okay, that's fine. I'm going to call your parents now and take you home, and then you're certainly welcome to come back tomorrow if you choose to be a part of the class. So they go home, and then they come back the next day. But the important thing is you never took responsibility off the shoulders of the child. It is their decision as to what they're going to do. And so you've dealt with the discipline problem. Your emerging high school leader continues to teach and focus on the class. And everyone else in the class continues to learn and grow in the class. Now, that person come back, and hopefully the next day, they're different. But if not, we'll go through the same thing. I remember one summer we had two kids that were giving leaders problems in their class. One kid went home and decided that, you know, I want to be there, and so I'm going to behave differently. They came back and had a wonderful experience. Unfortunately, the other one did not. They came back a couple of times and they just said, no, I'm just this is just not for me. Again, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. But you can control what they do and the kind of what the damage that they want to do in your classroom. And so that's parenting with love and logic. That's applying love and logic to your the discipline problems that you have that might come up. I have found it to be very effective with young people, particularly young people in the neighborhood who may be used to, in other settings, getting away with things. In your setting, you're showing them that you love them. You respect them. You respect their decisions. You haven't taken it off their shoulders. And so therefore, even they can make a decision to do wrong, but they can equally make a decision to do right. And you're giving them the opportunity to do that and not allow them to disrupt your program. So that's how we deal with disciplinary problems. That's love and logic.